Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by Mobius Strip Press and reclaimingtherepublic.org. At both sites, mobiusstrippress.com and reclaimingtherepublic.org, you can get all sorts of content so that you can understand the intent and the drive behind Reclaiming the Republic, and hopefully you can garner what and how important Republic Review is. Feel free to call in. I just ask that you abide by my 3C rule: confidentiality, civil, and concise. I do have a standing question. What three crimes does the general government have constitutional jurisdiction over? These are the only three crimes that the Constitution has constitutional jurisdiction over. If you know, then by all means, give me a call. And with that, I will move forward with some more motivating factors. But before I do, I guess everybody's probably noticing their 401k a little chipped away again today. And I believe if you're not following the news, which, you know, then you're not tuning into the station that often. But this Uranium One thing is just another factor. I mean, I haven't even started on the new stuff. I'm really going over some of the old stuff we kind of already knew, and the fact that we should not be surprised with the fact that there is and has been a level of corruption within our government, and it's been going on for a very, very long time. And so with that, let me kind of move forward. I kind of went through the departments or the executive departments yesterday. And the reason I'm doing all of this is because I think it's important for you to understand why you have to take action. Now, one would argue that, oh, all we've got to do is get our guys in, and there's an effort by one conservative organization that they're trying to get people behind the Article 6 effort and getting, you know, people to be aware of their oaths and holding them to their oaths. And in all honesty, if you read my second book, I talk about the importance of going after our representatives at the state level and local level and so forth for holding them accountable to their oath, because every elected official and or politically appointed person, most of these offices, not all politically appointed, but some of them actually require you to raise your arm to the square. What is the first thing that a public servant has to swear to? They have to swear to supporting and defending the Constitution. So why would we not hold them to that if they have to take that oath? I mean, we should be doing that. And there's an organization out there that's their whole focus of the organization is called Oath Keepers. And so in my second book, I talk about how we need to start holding our representatives official, you know, these politically appointed, not politically appointed, these public servants or elected officials, we got to start holding their feet to the fire and saying, look, you're taking an oath. We need you to stand up and protect us from federal tyranny. Because most people don't think that your city council, your county commissioners, your mayor, your sheriff, and so forth, I mean, what do they have to do with the Constitution? They are receiving money, and they are aiding and abetting unconstitutional government. And that's what we don't want. What we want them to do is to, you know, gain a little backbone, stand up to the federal tyranny and say, look, we are going to do without your money and your lucre, and we are going to, you know, no longer abide by all of this unconstitutional government. So people say, well, what happens if all of a sudden we don't have all this money coming in? Well, you got to understand that that money comes in with strings. And a lot of those strings are things that you are subjugating yourself to. Like in, on the west side of the states, you can see all sorts of federal ran properties that are unconstitutional. Show me in the Constitution we can go back up to those executive departments, but show me in the Constitution where the federal government was given the charter or the where the states delegated the power for them to create federal forest lands or parks, for that matter. Those were usurpations. Maybe nice ideas, maybe noble intent by Teddy Roosevelt, but they're usurpations nonetheless, which means that they're a violation of the Constitution. And the president, Congress, nor the Supreme Court can violate the Constitution unless the states allow them to do that. But it's still a violation nonetheless, and they are an egregious violation of the contract. And so what we have to do is we have to say, well, we're not recognizing all of this unconstitutional government, and we're not going to take your money anymore. But what that does is it unleashes all of these constraints that the federal government has placed on the states over their resources and so forth. And now the states can actually do things with those resources that the federal government has kind of locked down and said, those forests you can't touch, we own those. Well, that's not true. You don't own those. Show me the Constitution where you own those. And so secondly, those are our forests, and we've been having nothing but fire problems over here, which is, it can't be good for our carbon footprint. if you understand the irony there, they're actually locking down these forests and is creating a overgrowth problem, which always causes forest fires and all this pollution in these past couple of decades because of the environmentalists. I mean, it's almost like a self-licking ice cream cone. And so if we actually took back these lands and our powers and so forth, then we would actually be able to start, I don't want to say clear cutting, but we could actually start being better stewards of the land, and the states would always be better stewards of the land. And I know in the Pacific Northwest, they were actually doing very good, logging, very clean logging, responsible logging. It may look like strip logging or what have you, but you can actually go back to those places where they logged 20 years ago and there's nice forest on them, because as soon as a Weyerhaeuser was clearing out an area of forest, they went in and replanted trees. Why did they do that? Because that's just good business, so that you can come back and do some more harvesting. But as the game started changing, they were unable to do those types of things. And now we have, overgrowth and unmanaged forests that are right next to population centers. That doesn't sound like a good idea, but apparently some bureaucrat thousands of miles away thinks it is. And it's always best that they tell you what you have to do and what you don't have to do, if they can, if you let them. But we don't have to let them, because the Constitution doesn't grant them that power. Do you get it? Do you understand that? If you understand that, then, let's look at more motivational factors, because obviously there's just not enough motivation yet. And I guess people aren't putting and connecting all of these dots that we've been living under an elitist tyranny that it's just unfathomable that, we're actually having to put up with this kind of garbage. I know for a fact that the framers have got to be rolling over in their grave as they recognize some of the stuff that we've been doing and having to deal with. And so this next marketing concept, or this next poke in the side here, or poke in your eye, is over the Homeland Security. I'm not sure if you remember, but they were doing investigations in determining which political affiliation people were making under the Freedom Information Act request, and the subsequent delays of answering those requests and altogether ignoring those requests made by conservative affiliated individuals and organizations. Isn't that interesting? So there was this whole front put out there that you could put in these FOIA informations, but they were stonewalling, that they were not providing that information as they were required to by law. And so we've got plenty more marketing and hopefully more motivational reasons why you need to get involved, but I am up on a hard break. So give me a few minutes and we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
Rippey Homes believes that the American dream is not simply owning your home, but owning your dream home. Are you ready to upgrade, expand, or start your own custom home? If you are, I'd like to invite you to check out Rippey Homes at cgrippey.com. They offer end-to-end service from real estate to remodeling and specializes in custom homes, and they love to partner with their customers in making a difficult project worry-free. From the design to the moving in, they are with you every step of the way. If you have that dream home and looking to remodel, whether it's converting your kitchen and bath into your own heaven on earth or adding a new room, Rippey Homes has the tools, talent, and experience you can trust. So if you're ready to pull the trigger on a remodel or building that custom home, contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's cgrippey.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me. It's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And a part of that dialogue is these marketing concepts. But before I go back into this next one, because we were just kind of wrapping up on one of the Homeland Security issues, most people, I think, might be intimidated with, oh, these lawyers talking about constitutional law and talking about case and precedents and so forth. And I want you to understand something. Don't let them bully you and intimidate you on your government. It's yours. It's not theirs. It's all of ours, and they have to share it with us. And the fact is, that even though Madison did not think highly of the electorate, he knew that they were illiterate. There were very few that had the education. They were an elite class back in those days, an aristocracy. And he knew, though, that they needed to create a self-governance. And that's one of the reasons why I think the Lord inspired them to create a contract and not some charter and not some noble, guide of governance and so forth. And the fact that this contract was put in place the way it was, most every American today, you know, just like most of them, most guys can tell you about the combustion engine and can give you, you know, a good level of detail of how one works. So we're far more advanced. Even the illiterate today can talk about combustion engines and so forth compared to back in those days. However, everybody understands contracts. Everybody understands their labor contract. And if your employer chose to, and I will ask you, go look at your labor contract with your employer and tell me where it says that they have to pay you in U.S. dollars and U.S. Currency specific. They tell you that they will pay you a certain salary amount, and they put it in, but they don't state that they have to pay you in a very specific currency broken down by dollars, cents, and so forth. They don't do that. It's just kind of taken for granted. So there's some ambiguity in your labor contract. And let's say you live in some space or a location that has, let's say, an abundance of tomatoes. And let's say tomatoes are a viable commodity that's traded, just like dollars are traded on the market. And your employer says, you know, we're looking at changing how we pay you because we're paying you on a commodity that is available on the market. But instead of giving you a commodity of dollars, we're going to give you a commodity of tomatoes. That way, we will pay you whatever the current value is of those tomatoes. Well, you'd probably scream bloody murder, and you'd probably be making lots of Bloody Marys. But they could get away with that. And most employees, because they're at-will employees, would probably quit because there's that kind of ambiguity in labor contracts. The framers were pretty smart. They didn't allow that kind of ambiguity. They very specifically enumerated what powers they could have, and they provided some clauses to those powers and only to those powers. And those clauses being the Supremacy Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, the General Welfare Clause and Defense Clause, and the Commerce Clause. Those clauses only apply to the enumerated powers. They are not portals to grant themselves new powers. And so it was a very tight, hard, fast contract, as you've heard me say. So as you start learning this and as you start understanding the simplicity of what they really gave us, and it may take a little effort on your part to read some of this stuff, but that's all. It's not going to take you, you know, 3 credit hours to get smart on this. They literally gave us, I want to say, a foolproof system. They gave us a foolproof contract that allows the states at any point in time to step in and say, hey, we're not allowing you to do this because we didn't delegate this in the Constitution. So cease and desist. And if you read my book, it's just not that simple. I don't try to, you know, take this approach of just shutting down things immediately. I think everybody, if you've ever been laid off, if you've ever been fired, if you've ever had the threat of losing your job, nobody likes working with that kind of stress, and everybody has to put food on their table, even these government employees that believe that they're doing legitimate constitutional work, that are working in the Department of Energy, the Department of, or the EPA, and so forth and so on. And so they're all human beings, and they all deserve, I believe, at least a heads up that, you know, unfortunately, we're doing stuff we're not supposed to be doing, and we're going to have to shut this department down. But in doing that, we're giving you 6 months' notice so that you will have an opportunity to, you know, find a job somewhere else. And what'll end up happening is we shut down this big federal system of entitlements and so forth. There'll probably be a lot of social workers and people with social engineering type degrees will probably have a hard time finding work. They'll probably, in that field, they're probably going to have to retool themselves to becoming, I don't know, maybe real engineers, mechanical, electrical, you know, computer, what have you. But there's plenty of work out there. There is plenty of work. And then some of these departments, you know, as you span through this period of time of slowly letting people go, letting the least important, and nobody wants to think that they're important or not important, but, you know, there's people that you absolutely need to have to ensure that the transfer of all the information and all the things that are going to be necessary to be pushed back to the States, that person is there to ensure all of that work is done so that you can turn the lights off and close these buildings down. So those people have to be incentivized. So you have to look at this kind of smartly, and you can't just, you know, shut these down. So it's not like GR is calling for, you know, turn the lights off today. But the fact is, they're violations of the contract. And if there's no hope in the States ever delegating that power, and let me ask you a question. Why would we delegate that kind of power to them when we've already witnessed the abuses of that power over decades? Are you kidding me? Like the Department of Energy, since when have they created a strategy to meet the needs of the Republic? They haven't once done that. There have been all sorts of lip service. And when Carter created that unconstitutional department, that was nothing but lip service. Oh, we're going to create a strategy to meet our needs. They didn't do that once. What they have done with the Department of Energy is they've basically sold us downriver for corporations and for global exchanging. And so everybody's benefited but the Republic. And so why would the Republic want to give them the ability to dictate what strategies we're going to take and what directions we are going to go down in just in the course of energy? And I have other books that are forthcoming out of my... So I got the We the People series, and then I have other books that'll actually kind of break down what we need to do with our entitlement or welfare state and how we can fix that so that we no longer have this insidious plan of putting somebody onto a program, and then all of a sudden, you know, their children are on that program, their grandchildren are on that program. That is insidious. There is nothing greater to the human spirit than self-accomplishment, self-worth, and the value of what they contribute and being able to have a lifestyle based on that. There's no greater accomplishment in life than being able to provide for your family and make them better off than you. And as a matter of fact, Adam Smith talks about this innate desire within all of us. We all have this, that we want something better for our children than for ourselves. That's not a sin to do that. And it's actually a part of the human condition, folks. And so why would we not want to give that to our kids? Because if we don't, I want you to consider this. These kids today that are seeing parents, you know, living and us doing nothing about it, maybe we're on welfare and our kids are watching us. They're going to have to basically deal with all sorts of burdens that we're putting on them. At what point will we recognize and bear the shame for doing this to our future generations? We've got some comeuppance coming if we don't start taking action now. But I want to get into this marketing stuff, and so I have some more. We've got... a couple more I wanted to go through. So as soon as we get back from the break, I promise I won't rant on this other stuff, and I'll get into some motivating ideas as to why we need to get involved. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests as to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And the lines are still open, but I do actually have a caller. And let me go ahead and answer the caller, but caller, please be aware of the fact that the caller ID has somebody's name up there, but I hate going down that path because sometimes it's not that person. So, hello, you're online with Reclaiming the Republic and G.R. Mobley.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you, sir.
Hi, well, you didn't get my name because I was trying to, I actually gave it, but the machine cut me off. This is John Chambers.
Oh, Mr. Chambers, how are you doing today? Folks, let me give people an insight. Mr. Chambers is actually a constitutional, I'll say professor, but he teaches the Constitution in the state of the of Oregon. I believe it's the southwest side of Oregon, down by Grants Fall, right?
Grants Pass.
That's Grants correct. Pass, I'm sorry. Yeah, Grants Pass. Yep. And so how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well. I was listening. First, what caught my attention was a while back you were talking about national lands, national parks, wilderness area,
yep.
that sort of stuff. And that is the problem, for instance, in my county, two-thirds of my county is controlled by the federal government, and we're not allowed to process it, harvest it, so on and so forth. And you were talking about the wildfires and all the rest of that.
Right.
And I just wanted to, that people might want to know specifically where it is in the Constitution that the federal use or control of this territory is not provided for. Let's put it that way, because there is a very specific thing that they're supposed to do with this land, but they're not doing that. They're doing something else. And I didn't know if you wanted me to elucidate on that.
Oh, sure. Go ahead if you want to provide some clarification. But the Constitution does dictate very specific usages of land, and that's in Article 1, Section 8. And I'm going to say it is somewhere for, subsection 16 or 17. And if you wouldn't mind, I'll just go ahead and read this. Subsection states that the exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever, such or over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may by secession or by cession of particular states and the acceptance. So this 10 mile square is the seat of government. And I'll go on to say that it also quotes that the exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature. So purchased by or the state in which the same shall be. And that is the purchase by for the seat of government. That's the only thing that they can buy for land, and it's 10 miles, limited by 10 square miles. Then they can also use for the erection of ports, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. And that's it. Go ahead, Mr. Chambers.
That's correct, from within a state.
Yes.
However, then, what if you make a treaty with Spain or with France and you purchase from them a whole bunch of property? That's property that's not within the state.
Correct. And so, go ahead.
And so, which is, in fact, exactly what they did do with the Northwest ordinances before the Constitution.
Yeah, the Louisiana Territory was purchased through a treaty purpose, yes.
That's correct. And we've had a number of treaties, and we've had a number of, I want to say accretions of land, but we have had a number of places where the United States, as its own entity, has purchased or acquired pieces of property.
Yes.
It describes then in Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, because Ken, you were right about Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, that was the correct one, that what they are supposed to do with this territory is dispose of it. Now, what has happened is the courts have decided that dispose of doesn't mean dispose of. It means disposition. And disposition has a number of different meanings. One of them is to make an arrangement of something. That's the disposition of something. You could, I'm sitting here at a table and I have a number of items on the table and their disposition is a certain way. And I can change the disposition of it, and it's completely within my purview to do that. However, that is not what Article 4, Section 3 says. Article 4, Section 3 says, dispose of. Dispose of is an idiom.
Right.
It means neither dispose nor of. It means the word together. And if you go back to the dictionary, if you go to any dictionary even today, and you look up dispose of, it'll say basically get rid of. If you go back to Ben Jonson's dictionary in 1755, because I've done it and looked at it to find out if that was true, dispose of is an idiom. It was then, it is now, and it meant get rid of. You go to Webster's 1828, dispose of is an idiom. It means get rid of. The only thing that they're allowed to do with this territory is get rid of it.
Right.
But because some people have along the line have said, no, it's much better if the federal government keeps it. They have changed it around to be changed, and it's not, they haven't changed the word, they've just changed the meaning of the word so that it is now disposition of. They can dispose of it, but by disposition, instead of the idiom dispose of, to get rid of it. And Teddy Roosevelt then makes parks, and we have wilderness areas, and we have, and all of this, when they were actually supposed to dispose of it. And I know that there's a language within the Enabling Acts whenever a new state was entered into the Union and there was still land that was controlled, owned by the federal government. They had the title of it because, you know, when they bought it from Louisiana, Louisiana turned over the title, so the federal government had the title of it. And it says that the land that the federal government owns or has title to within a state when this new state is created will remain with the federal government until title is extinguished. And then it goes on and talks about that it, you know, how to extinguish it and that they are supposed to extinguish it. They are supposed to dispose of it because that's what the Constitution says. And then they don't do it. And then the courts back them up. And that's one of the Republic Review things we need to look at most seriously.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the Article 4, Section 3 basically identifies that new states may be admitted by the Congress into this union. And so every state that comes into this union becomes a recipient and stakeholder in all aspects and becomes the sovereign in all aspects over that territory that now becomes a state. And so they get the equal representation. That's why everything is done the same. However, you're right. The court system started stepping in with the Western states when they said, you know what? There's merit in this in trying to create this unconstitutional legal footing. Show me in the Constitution where the states can use the court system to make changes to this Constitution. Where is that in Article 5, sir? I mean, you teach the Constitution. Was the courts granted the ability to make changes to the Constitution?
The only power that they have to do that is to interpret the words of the Constitution differently than the regular, either original meaning or just the plain language, look it up in a dictionary meaning.
Right.
And that's the only way they do it is by redefinition of terms.
And that's, my friend, where the ratification debates come into play, because the ratification debates, a few of the states went through line by line, but they debated most all of these issues. And so you can find out with clarity what the intent of these issues were within the ratification debates. On this particular one, I don't think that many of the anti-federalists cared too much about upcoming states and states joining the union. I've got a hard break here, so if you could hold on, John, we'll be right back after this.
I'm amazed at just how much Rippey Homes takes pride in their partnerships. from the designers they work with to the artisans they employ, and you, the homeowner. They relish in getting it right the first time. To do this, they place their focus up front on what you want and what you need and begin forming a plan like a sculpture, taking care of the intricate details to ensure it meets your expectations. Whether you need innovation in a custom home to harmonize with the environment while offering the latest in building materials and technology, or simply adding a room, a bath remodel, they take a bottom-up approach that centers around you, the customer. They know that you are the integral component to the American dream, which is how they help you build your dream to make your dreams become a reality. Contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so we still have John on the phone. And so I wanted to find out, John, was there something else you wanted to bring up?
No, that was mostly it.
Okay.
I did send an email to my study group, which is across the country, to listen today to you, because we have talked off and on from time to time, and I think Republic Review is a good thing that if you're going to be studying the Constitution, you need to know that, because it is a plan. In my email, I said this is a plan that that can work, but it is it's not I mean, there are things to overcome, as you know, but there's a plan that can work, and it does need to be in their mind, and to that they should take a look at it and support it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Send them a link to videos.
Well, I appreciate that. And as a matter of fact, I would like to probably schedule you to come on, because once I kind of go through some of these Federalist Papers and some other stuff, probably maybe next week, if I could, I'd like to talk about kind of what you do and, you know, what got you into this, so we can kind of have a quick little conversation so people can understand that, you know, there's all sorts of content out there. And as a matter of fact, I'm working, trying to get a few people in this area and a couple of other areas to start teaching the Constitution. And I know you write material that is suitable for a curriculum in teaching the Constitution. And so I want people to understand, hey, there's stuff out there that I think is more than affordable that people can go buy and start, you know, conducting classes and so forth. What we need are more people like you in the communities teaching the Constitution, going through it line by line so people understand it. And, you know, it, in that way, as I was talking about earlier before you called in, the people shouldn't be intimidated by this. It's only 4 pages, folks, right?
Right. So,
I mean, in the original text, it was 4 pages. So.
And it's not just going through it line by line, but also word by word, so you can see, like, that for instance, dispose of means
yes.
dispose of.
Right.
It means something else.
And not letting other people tell you what it means, correct?
Exactly right. And you can look it up. And we have, I'll tell you, probably my favorite thing is setting up groups in far-flung areas to be community groups studying the Constitution. I started up one in Tampa, and there was one in L.A. that we started up. There was a lady also in Pennsylvania who was interested, but then something happened with her life and stuff. And that's still, we'll say, in the works.
Okay, Well, anyway, let me work with you in bringing you on next week. I can kind of give you a good preponderance of a show, if not a whole show, so we can kind of talk about those types of things. Because I believe, and folks, if you know somebody in your community that teaches the Constitution, please let me know, because I want to bring attention. I want to help these people. Because if I help them bring in other people so that they can start teaching more, then we're creating constitutional warriors, and we're creating a level of activists that can actually help in us moving in the right direction, because we don't have a lot of time. So let me thank you for calling, John, and we will be. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if they talk to you about it. You've also got me as well as a resource on this, because we'd be very happy to help.
Sure.
You know, set something and that. And I was just looking at my schedule here, and by gosh, from 3 to 4 o'clock every single day next week, I have G.R. Mobley listen to that show. So by golly, you can do it kind of any time you want.
Okay, well,
you want to do it Wednesday? You want to do
Wednesday? Well, let me send you an email, because I've got to get through these Federalist Papers, and I'm just running out of time today, so I wanted to get through a couple, and there's some quotes, so let me get to a pause with those, because absolutely, I'll send you an email and let you know what day would be good, and I'll have you get engaged for that day, and I'll let people know, and that way you can let your folks know as well, okay?
Absolutely, perfect.
Hey, thank you so much, John. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thank you.
God bless.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Yep.
Well, folks, I appreciate John dialing in. And what do I say now? Well, I'm going to go into these Federalist Papers. And what do I always say as I start reading these and start citing documents? Are the words that our founding documents give us, that the framers wrote for us, am I citing the words of deceit? Or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges and professors, lawyers, politicians and bureaucrats the words of deceit, trying to get us to believe that dispose means disposition, that they still possess the sovereignty over our lands after we've become sovereigns. You cannot have a dual sovereignship, folks. That's why the framers gave us a multi-tiered sovereignty where the people are the sovereigns of all things and the states are delegated very specific powers. And then the states delegate very specific powers to the general or federal government. And so this next Federalist paper that I want to read is Federalist Paper number 43. And this is kind of interesting because this one Federalist paper kind of throws out the argument that Abraham Lincoln used. And so regarding the Civil War and the secession of the Southern states. And I quote, a compact, and so he's talking about the Constitution here, so I'm going to interject a little bit, editorialize, as you will. And so when he uses the word compact, he's talking about a contract or the Constitution, in, you know, just switching out those words. A compact between independent sovereigns founded on ordinary acts of legislative authority can pretend to no higher validity than a league or treaty between the parties. It is an established doctrine on the subject of treaties that all the articles are mutually conditions of each other, that a breach of any one article is a breach of the whole treaty, and that a breach committed by either of the parties absolves the other and authorizes them, if they please, to pronounce the compact violated and void. And so if you understand what he just said here, he's basically saying that every little line of the Constitution is a mutual condition, and every single one of those are independent and can become a issue if breached between the sovereigns, to basically state that we do not want to keep this contract. We feel so violated by this breach, this encroachment, that we choose to go down the path of, you know, absolving ourselves from this contract. He's clearly stating that the states have the authority, if they want to actually step away from the contract. Now, understanding that, there is, I believe, an obligation of, you know, sibling, camaraderie, whatever. There is an obligation that when you came into this union, kind of like marriage, you know, not that death shall you part, but you kind of create this commitment that you're going to try to work out your issues as much as you possibly can. And so one would think that you wouldn't rush to secession. One would think that you would, you know, say, hey, we need to address these issues seriously. But the thing is that this is not a single one case that the federal government is encroaching upon only one state, that the federal government is actually encroaching upon all the states by taking on roles, responsibilities, and powers that are well outside the scope of the Constitution and the powers that were delegated to them by the states. And so the states have an obligation to, you know, rectify this, or they have an entitlement to discard this, as the Declaration of Independence literally states, and our founding documents literally state, that if it is no, after a train of abuses, you know, we find that this is no longer serving us, then we're duty bound to basically discard this and build anew. Now, I don't think that we need to build anew. I think that what the Lord gave us in this contract is more than ample for a republic to thrive, even in this world today. And as a matter of fact, this particular Constitution that we were given and endowed with by the framers and the divine hand of providence, as they assert, that we would actually be the benefactors of thriving even more today if we abided by this Constitution, because the economic engine of all states would be unleashed, and the ability for states to be able to do things that would be best for them and best for the republic they would be able to do instead of being hampered and constrained by all of these strings from a very nefarious and dubious general government that has been constraining and violating our very Constitution. And I say that because I do believe that there are really good things, and that's why I want to see this union maintained. There are really good things about the general government, but the shining star is the Constitution about our general government. So just so you understand that, it is about the Constitution, and it is about time that I relinquish Red State Radio to the next host. And so with that, I apologize that I didn't get into more, but I will get into more tomorrow. And by all means, call if you've got questions, and I will be out of here and back tomorrow.